This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Archer. L.A. County D.A. George Gascon will debate his challenger, Nathan Hochman, right here on KNX News. We'll go in-depth on what to expect. But first, two people are dead in Long Beach, and the suspect accused of shooting them is barricaded nearby. Let's connect live now with Pete DiVitrio, who is on the scene.
This has been stretching on for roughly about 5 hours at this point. The original shooting took place at about 11:15. Long Beach police were called in, found a woman who had been shot, critically wounded in a home here, and then another man who was deceased in a truck outside. Now, a search of the area turned up a man they thought was involved in the shooting. He is now in a home, they believe, on 63rd Street, about 300 block, about 200 yards away from us right here. An armored car is there. They have been trying to get a hold of the man by bullhorn and by phone. Apparently nothing has worked. So now the special weapons team is preparing to go in and make entry and try to find this man inside. It's not known if it's going to be officers doing it alone or with canines. But you've got those officers down there about 200 yards in front of me and about 50 to 75 neighbors who are down behind the police lines now looking at what's going on. Rob?
Thanks, Pete. Mystery in Glendora, the bodies of two young people and a dog found inside of a home on fire with signs of violence. Emily Valdez at the scene.
Yellow crime scene tape blocking off Danecroft Avenue in Glendora tells of the horrors that happened hours earlier.
I was surprised and shocked that it was so close to my home.
It was 2:30 in the morning when firefighters put out a fire at the home and they discovered the body of a male adult in one of the rooms. A sheriff's lieutenant says there was blood at the scene. They also found the body of a dog, called out homicide detectives. They got a search warrant and found another body in a room where the fire was concentrated.
Somebody mentioned they thought they tried to set the house on fire. I don't know if that's correct or not.
Investigators say the couple that lives at the home, a woman in her late 60s, man in his early 70s, had been having problems in their marriage. In fact, she recently filed for divorce, and Glendora police were called out a few weeks earlier for a domestic dispute. Investigators say they won't know exactly what happened until the medical examiner performs their autopsies.
And the bodies have not been identified. The CHP is asking for your help to identify a young boy found riding a scooter on the 110 freeway in Los Angeles last night. Now, he's apparently nonverbal, black, between the ages of 10 and 13, and entered the freeway from 28th and Flower Streets. He was found in the express lane on the southbound 110 near Jefferson at about 6:30. LAPD says they don't have any missing person report matching his description. New information about the missing Redlands couple whose remains were found underneath the suspect's home. The San Bernardino County Coroner confirms that Dan and Stephanie Menard both died of blunt force trauma to the head. The deaths have officially been ruled as homicides. Michael Spartz has been charged with their murder, along with two special circumstance allegations. The motive for the killing still not clear, but neighbors said there was some tension between Sparks and the Menards. Wild morning in North Hollywood. Two people dead, one shot by the other. The other shot by police. Karen Adams at the scene.
This all happened just before 5 in the morning when police say a man shot another dead in a parking lot on Victory Boulevard near the Target and Ross stores. And when officers arrived, he then turned the gun on them.
They have reviewed body-worn video where it is clear that the suspect does point his firearm at the police vehicle. That is right prior to the first shooting.
Detective Megan Aguilar says officers fired off some rounds. The gunman then runs off, police right behind him.
What we're trying to establish, and they'll be working to find out, is if he fired any rounds at the officers during this quick but lengthy foot pursuit.
It comes to an end inside a parking structure at Hamlin and St. Clair, where the man and officers get into a shootout. He's killed. No officers were hurt.
Donald Trump being blasted by the leader of a California firefighters union for threatening to withhold federal firefighting aid from the state if he gets back into the White House. Former president made those comments at his campaign event last Friday at his golf course in Rancho Palos Verdes, saying that he would force Governor Newsom to agree to his policies.
And Gavin Newsom is going to sign those papers. And if he doesn't sign those papers, we won't give him money to put out all his fires. And if we don't give him the money to put out his fires, he's got problems.
Brian Rice, head of the 35,000-strong California Professional Firefighters Union, gave us his reaction.
Does it irritate me and anger me? It does greatly. We have several thousand men and women on the fire line right now in California. Right now, the weather is beginning to improve in our favor for the firefighting efforts.
He says Trump's remarks show ignorance.
Just to have somebody just completely disregard an entire state, what they mean to this nation, fifth largest economy in the world, the amount of money that is contributed to the federal government from California, it really is an asinine thing to say.
He says Trump would rather watch California burn in the name of political games than send help. Governor Newsom firing off a warning to the city of Norwalk. He's calling on the city to end its ban on new homeless shelters and support of housing. The Department of Housing and Community Development sent a notice of violation to Norwalk for what it calls the unlawful ban on the development of new homeless shelters and other housing sites. Governor Newsom says the city's move is counterproductive and immoral. Why is Donald Trump's support so resilient? I'm going to hear from the former chair of the Republican National Committee. That's coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review. Well, there are less than 2 months to go in the election campaign for L.A. County District Attorney. Democratic incumbent George Gascon accused of being sought on crime by his independent challenger, Nathan Hochman, who is a former Republican. Gascon says that claim is nonsense. Now, here on KNX News, going to bring you a debate between the two next month in association with the LA Times. Joining us now to talk about the DA's race is legal analyst Lori Levinson of Loyola Law School here in LA. Thanks for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
So, a really sharp divide between these two. How big is this divide, and what's the biggest difference between them?
Well, I think this is exactly why we need this debate. George Gascon came in as a progressive prosecutor, but there's been a lot of criticism that he went too far, that the pendulum swung too far, and that the city is not as safe as it should be. So Nathan Hochman, I think, is coming in and saying we need to go back at least more towards the other side and take a look at whether we have enhancements, how we organize the office, which communities are served. And I do think that the people of Los Angeles do want to know what the policies are going to be moving forward in that district attorney's office.
Now, which candidate can lay claim to what the local crime rates say? Gascon was successful or not successful, and Hochman says the crime rates show we have to make a change.
Well, I think you have to get down into which crime rates. What type of crime is going up or going down? Are we having theft crimes going up because, in fact, we're not punishing people who are stealing things under a certain level? Are the violent crimes going up? And that's not just a matter of the district attorney's office, but how they are or not working with local law enforcement.
Early polling right now shows Hochman has a very big lead. What can Gascon do to respond, and what should he say during the debate?
I do think that Gascon is probably on the defensive in this debate. We've already had the primaries, and most people, that's why you have Hochman as the challenger, did not vote for Gascon. He didn't get through those primaries untainted. So I think people are going to ask Gascon to justify what not only policies he put in, but what personnel he put in, who he moved around, and how he's operating the office. George Gascon came in with a lot of promises, and running as the incumbent, that subjects him to being questioned, not only by Hochman, but by the public as well.
And how big of an impact do you think this debate's going to have?
It depends how closely the public pays attention. We do have the Los Angeles Times, who's already sort of staked out who they think should win this race. But the public might want to hear directly from the candidates so they can make up their own mind.
All right. Legal analyst Lori Levinson of Loyola Law School here in L.A. Thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
And once again, that debate is going to be very, very important if you want to make an informed decision in November as to who should be the L.A. County District Attorney. You want to check it out. KNX News partnering with the L.A. Times, hosting this debate between George Gascon and his challenger, Nathan Hochman. They're going to talk about very important subjects, crime, public safety, quality of life, a lot more. Here's when it happens. Tuesday, October 8th. At 5 p.m., it's going to be on KNX News and also on YouTube, and we've got more information about the debate and what to expect on our website, knxnews.com. There have been a lot of concerns that LA's Ethics Commission does not have the power or resources to deal with city officials accused of wrongdoing or corruption. Voters could change that in November, Craig Figner explains.
They're being printed right now, those sample ballots for the November 5th election. They'll start arriving in the mail from the LA County Registrar of Voters next week and the week after. And for Los Angeles City voters, there is a lot at stake locally this election, especially when it comes to the Ethics Commission for the Los Angeles City Council. I talked with Professor of Politics Sarah Sedwani at Pomona College. She says strengthening the Ethics Commission, it will be a yes or no ballot question,
including mandating the budget for the Ethics Commission, allowing them to have external counsel, because right now they have to use the city attorney. So when they have legal issues or bring claims against a city council member, the city attorney's office is both representing the council member and the Ethics Commission, which could be problematic.
Doesn't stop there. City of Los Angeles voters will also be asked, one, whether or not there should be an independent redistricting commission to redraw Los Angeles City Council districts, and a third question on whether or not an independent redistricting commission should be created to redraw districts for the LAUSD school board. I'm Craig Figner, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Yet another person apparently had plans to try to shoot Donald Trump. How will this affect the election? We're going to hear from a former top Republican official.
Campaign 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Well, the presidential campaign's already tight. Now the campaign's being affected by the apparent second attempt on Trump's life. Charles Feldman and Margaret Guerrero talk with former RNC chairman Michael Steele for our election show Countdown 2024, with Charles pointing out that Trump's backing remains solid.
Voters, a lot of them, are extremely supportive, and they're not just MAGA people.
No, they're not, and I've been saying that from the very beginning of all of this, that what Donald Trump has done is struck a nerve with a lot of Americans. This is beyond party and political stripe, who have been living with this vexing concern about the browning of this country, this vexing concern about the caravans, to quote Donald Trump, of migrants and immigrants coming across our border. The othering of anyone who does not look like, sound like, or believe like them. And they have watched this for some time and have kept in check those subterranean feelings. Donald Trump was the avatar. He was the guy who came along and was the convenient vehicle for them to release those feelings. He was the one at his rallies who would tell people, if someone's saying something you don't like, just haul off and hit them. And when they do, don't worry, I'll pay your legal fees. He wasn't paying Jack, never has paid a bill in his life. So why is he going to pay some stranger's bill, who just hauled off and smacked the crap out of someone in his audience because he told them it was okay to do it?
Okay, so Donald Trump has now had two attempts on his life in a matter of a couple of months. Is there any way you see him maybe rethinking his candidacy at this point?
No, I don't. He's already used the first attempt, and he's using the second attempt to create a level of martyrdom, and his followers are right in there. You know, Saint Donald, oh my God, God has spared you yet again.
Is it working?
No, I don't think it's working, because the race isn't a double digit spread like it was 2 months ago. And I think that Americans, the one thing about Kamala Harris's message, which is a bit of an anecdote to Trumpism, is we don't have to go back. Why are we looking backwards? Why are we reminiscing about a time that never existed? You know, you've got people over here talking about, you know, oh, things were so much better when Trump was president. Really? How many family members did you lose to COVID? And was your kids, I mean, your business closed during COVID, didn't it? And when you went out of business, you lost your job. So tell me how that was better.
You know,
yeah, inflation hit 9%, but it's now 3.1 and going, and that's actually less than that. It's 2-something.
Right.
So tell me, how are you worse off now? So it's a matter of framing a conversation with people. And look, to your earlier point, you're not going to reach the hardened the steadfast Trumper. Nor should you even try. It's not worth your time. It's not worth the effort. Let them stew in whatever that stew is.
Michael, are you likely to become a Democrat?
No, because I philosophically don't agree with Democrats, and that's okay. But I can stand with my Democratic friends in the face of tyranny, in the face of someone who's told me he wants to be a dictator, in the face of someone who's told me that my race is less valuable to this country than others.
That's former Republican National Committee Chairman Michael Steele. Countdown 2024 airs weekdays at 2:30, with a replay at 8 p.m. and on demand through Election Day. 5:21 now, time for a look at your money.
Intel has landed a big fish, an Amazon-sized one. It signed Amazon's cloud unit as a customer. Both Intel and Amazon's AWS will invest in creating a custom AI chip. The move could boost efforts to refresh Intel's image and sales, and it could also bring work to new Intel chip plants under construction in the U.S. No more flexibility at Amazon when it comes to where workers do their work. Starting in the new year, Amazon wants everybody back in the office 5 days a week. Right now, workers can work from home 2 days a week. Earlier efforts to get people back to the office had received pushback. On Wall Street, investors moved out of big tech. They sent Apple shares down nearly 3% after an analyst said demand for the iPhone 16 Pro isn't as strong as expected, but they sent the Dow to a new record, up 0.5%, 228 points to 41,622. The NASDAQ fell 92, 0.5%. The S&P gained 7, 0.1%. I'm Bloomberg's Joan Doniger, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
That's your nonstop news at 5 for Monday, September 16th, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review.